The old road is dark. All you can see is trees either side, and ahead is a long open road. The only light you have is from the moon, whose light flickers through the tree leaves. You feel like someone is following you. You look around, but don't see anyone. You walk faster. After a little while, you see the silhouette of a tall man in the distance. You slow down, weary of who it may be. He turns to face you, but then he disappears. Welcome to Ghost Tales by the Fireside. First of all, I'd like to thank you all for your support and becoming a paid subscriber. This will really help me put more time into episodes, which I'll hopefully be creating videos on location for YouTube too. This episode is about the ghost of a policeman who was murdered in 1885 in the village of Beeley in Worcestershire. On Friday the 27th of February, 1885, Constable James Davis left his wife and children to do his nightly round in the area. What they didn't know is that this would be the last time they would say goodbye. PC Davis started duty at 10 o'clock on the Friday night. He left his house in Beeley, Worcestershire, to perform his usual route. And at 1 o'clock in the morning, he met Constable Whitehouse, a Withall policeman. They remained together until 2:15, when they compared watches and separated at the portway. That was the last time PC Davis was seen alive. He left his fellow officer and headed towards Weatheroak Hill, as he had to meet the Alv Church constable at Rowney Green at 4 o'clock. PC Davis never made it to Rowney Green. He lost his life in a desperate struggle with an assailant on the old Roman road, Icknield Street. His body wasn't found until 8:30 in the morning. His body was found by a farmer, Mr. John Twigg from Rowney Green, who was on his way to work that morning. He came across the bloody body of the policeman, who was face down. He recognised the body as PC Davis, who was stationed at Beeley. The officer was lying with his feet in the gutter, and his head was in a great pool of blood in the middle of the road. The blood had flowed from a number of wounds on the face, neck and body, which was cold and presented a ghastly appearance. Mr. Twigg at once summoned assistance from a neighbouring farm, whence a messenger was immediately dispatched for a policeman, who shortly arrived from Withall and took charge of the body. He took the body of PC Davis to the premises of a local wheelwright, Mr. Stimpson, at the crossroads, and was placed in a shed to await the inquest. Constable Davis's whistle and nightstick was found, 200 yards from the scene. The nightstick was bloodstained and had bits of hair attached to it, indicating that he'd used it against an assailant. Upon examination, he'd been cut along the right side of his face from his ear to his chin and received up to 40 stab wounds. It was also noted that his watch had been cut away from his uniform and footprints were left in the mud that didn't match the officer's boots. During that same Friday night, a farm was broken into and 6 fowls were taken. A man called Moses Shrimpton had been seen many times around the area over the previous few weeks, accompanied by a woman known as Mary Morton. He was well known to PC Davis and the local farmers as a poacher, so he became a suspect straight away. It was thought that the murderer would escape to Redditch Railway Station or another local railway station to make their way to Birmingham to sell the fowl. On the 4th of March 1885, detectives tracked Shrimpton down in a rundown lodging house in Bartholomew Street, a back street in Birmingham. They broke down the back door and took Shrimpton into custody. He had blood on him. The right arm of his coat was saturated in blood from the elbow to the wrist, even though he tried to clean it. Other clothing had splashes of blood on them, and his boots had recently been cleaned. They also matched the footprints found at the scene of the crime. He also had a cut on his forehead where you could see he'd been hit with something hard, but he claimed that he'd fell over the week before. After a doctor's examination, he concluded that he'd received a blow to the head, a typical wound from a policeman's truncheon. Mary Morton was also present at the house. After being searched, the police found a large pocket knife in her skirt pocket, the same that would have been used in the murder. After examination, it was found that the knife had traces of blood on it, even though it had been cleaned. Morton was also arrested as an accessory to murder. From an early age, Shrimpton worked as a needle maker in Redditch, but eventually turned to a life of crime. His first conviction was for carrying a gun without a license. Afterwards, he was convicted of the more serious crime of poaching. He was part of a poaching gang. One night, when they were about to burgle a farm, they were surprised by some local gamekeepers and a policeman. In the struggle that started, Shrimpton hit a PC Haynes over the head with a gun. He was hit with so much force that the barrel of the gun bent. He was sentenced to 5 years in prison. His last conviction before the murder was on the 16th of October 1883, where he and Morton were both caught at Solihull railway station with 16 dead fowl that were proven to have been stolen from a farm in Packwood. He was sentenced to 12 months in prison, and Morton was given a 6 month sentence with hard labour as it was her first offence. Mary Morton was stated to be possessed with a violent temper. While living in Redditch, she frequently engaged in conflicts with her husband and neighbours. It is recorded on one occasion, after a quarrel with her husband, that she broke a number of windows in the house with her bare hands and stood laughing at the blood as it dropped from them. Shrimpton and Morton posed as husband and wife while lodging in Bartholomew Street. It was noticed as suspicious when he would tell neighbours that he was going to work at night, but he would only leave twice a week and he would always have plenty of money. It was also noted that they would be drunk a lot, bringing alcohol into the lodgings and having drunken fights that would last for hours. The funeral of Police Constable James Davis took place at St Leonard's Church in Beeley on the 5th of March 1885, and he was buried in the churchyard. His casket was covered in wreaths, and his family, including his father, brother, sister-in-law and brother-in-law, followed behind it. His widow, Elizabeth Davis, was heavily pregnant at the time and was too stricken with grief to view her husband's body. She was left with four children. She was given £150 from the police, and she received £1,408 from a fundraiser that was set up by the villagers of Beeley. Moses Shrimpton was sentenced to death by hanging. As the chaplain said the words, "In the midst of life, we are in death." The prison bell tolled and the lever was pulled. The trapdoor dropped and Moses Shrimpton dropped to his death. An execution that went well, until it was realised that there was blood splattered all over the wall and there was blood pouring down Shrimpton's hanging corpse. His body suddenly dropped to the floor. The measurements had been worked out wrong. He was too heavy for the 9 foot drop and was decapitated upon impact with the noose. In the 1930s, A teenage girl was walking along Icknield Street in Beeley. It was around 9 p.m. and she was on her way home after visiting her ill auntie who lived in Whittle. She started to feel uneasy and started to walk at a faster pace. She said that it felt like someone was following her, but she couldn't see anyone around. As she approached the bend, she noticed someone standing in the middle of the road. She said that all she could see was a very tall figure. He turned to face her and started to walk towards her. As he got closer, she realised he was a policeman, which made her feel more at ease. He asked her why she was out so late, and on her own, in the dark, and she told him that she'd been to see her auntie, who was ill. He then told her to hurry up home. You never know who's around these areas. She thanked the officer and carried on with her journey home. Just a few seconds later, she looked behind her and he'd gone. She didn't understand where he'd gone, as she surely would have been able to see him still. When she returned home, she told her parents, who told her about the murder of PC Davis, and that many people have seen his ghost still patrolling the area where he lived and worked. In the 1970s, a farmer in Beeley would often walk to the Coach and Horses pub on Weatheroak Hill. He said that he loved a little walk after work, and that he loved a nice pint of ale straight from the barrels that were on display behind the bar. One late afternoon in winter, he took his usual stroll up Icknield Street to go for his pint of ale. This particular stretch of road is very narrow. Cars can only go along in single file. As the crossroads came into sight, he could see the silhouette of a tall man in the distance. As he got closer, the figure just stood still, staring into the hedgerow. He got about 5 metres away and realised it was the ghost of PC Davis, who he'd heard many local people talking about. He always thought it was all just made up. He said that he was tall, wearing an old-fashioned police helmet, and that he noticed he was wearing what looks like a cloak. The farmer stood still, afraid to walk past, but the figure just disappeared after a few seconds. The farmer ran the rest of his journey and stayed a little longer than usual in the pub. As he said, he didn't have the courage to face him again. In the 1980s, a husband and wife had to drive through Beeley so that they could refuel their car ready for the morning, as they had a long journey. As they were travelling along Icknield Street, they noticed a figure just in front of them, slightly to the middle of the road. He slowed down and put his indicators on so that he could move the car around the person when they watched him disappear. He looked at his wife, who in turn looked at him. They both asked at the same time, "Did you see that?" They both described seeing a tall man wearing a tall hat, and they both saw him disappear. Years later, he came across a newspaper article which told the story of PC Davis on the 100th anniversary of his murder. He then realised that where they were that night was the site of the murder. Many people have said that they've seen the ghost of a policeman on this small part of Icknield Street. I wonder if he really is still doing his nightly rounds. The village of Beeley has a long history, which I'll be covering in the next episode, along with more ghost stories. Thank you for listening to Ghost Tales by the Fireside. You can find more information about the episodes on ghosttales.co.uk. I'm also on Instagram and Facebook, both at Ghost Tales Podcast. All writing, research, music production, and sound effects are my own work.